Oh, it is 100% your job to earn somebody's business. And that means actually showing up in the conversation. It also means, you know, some people call it asking for the sale, which I do too, but I love to teach that it's about issuing invitations, because most people like to be invited to things, even if you don't want to go. Like, even if you're, you know, your friend's having a get together and you're like, I'm not really up for it this weekend, it's still nice to be invited because none of us want to be excluded.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As a naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body balance, and inner badass, these are the themes we are exploring. So today we're actually talking about business. And frankly, it's the intersection of business and badass, because it's a component of what I do that I think for so many presents a challenge. My guest today, Nikki Rausch, is the CEO of Sales Maven. And you guessed it, we are talking about sales. But here is my hope when you stick with this interview, that for those of you who find sales difficult, for those of you who approach it with a mindset that it's sleazy, for those of you who frankly avoid it at all costs, what I'm hoping today is that our interview is actually going to change your perspective. Nikki talks about sales as being something we do with people, not something we do to people. And I think, frankly, that has been the experience for so many of us. This was a refreshing conversation full of actionable takeaways. It was really a pleasure to be able to have the opportunity to chat with Nikki, and I'm so excited to be able to bring the interview to you now. Nikki Rausch, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Thank you for having me. I am very excited to have this time with you.
Well, I'm really looking forward to this conversation because I feel like this idea of sales has a whole new layer of potential complication as we are moving really into what I think is somewhat of a new economy, where we're looking at this notion of reopening the global economy after COVID-19. I think that there is people who believe we're going to have a renewed appetite for wanting to purchase. Other people are scared to have a conversation with respect to sales. So I'm so excited to have you here today as the CEO of Sales Maven. Nikki, can you give everyone listening a little bit of a background on you, and then we're going to delve into this topic?
Yeah, sure. So my background is I have a corporate sales career. I come from the corporate background, and I've been in sales for 25 years. In addition to that, I am a master certified practitioner of neuro-linguistic programming. And if that's a new term for anybody listening, it's essentially the study of communication. So when I show up, and now in my business, I teach and train the conversation side of sales. How do you seamlessly move somebody from that initial introduction through a process to get to the place where you actually exchange dollars for services? And so I combine my sales experience and my background in neuro-linguistic programming and really teach that. How do you connect with somebody in a way so that you don't come across salesy or pushy, but at the same time, you can be strategic in your conversation and doing it while it allows for your own personality to shine through? So you're not trying to sell like someone else or be like someone else. You get to be you and be more strategic in your conversation. So now that's what I do. I teach entrepreneurs how to do that.
Okay. I don't want to be presumptuous here. So okay. Correct me if I'm not, but have you always loved sales?
In a way, but I will say I am an introvert, which most people are kind of like, really? How can you be good at sales and be an introvert? I truly believe that anybody can sell. I was raised in an entrepreneurial like family where there was a family business. And so, you know, at the age of 10, I was working a cash register, and I had a grandfather who loved money. He loved to talk about money. He loved to like have these like deep conversations around money. So I grew up very comfortable with this idea that we exchange money for service and product, and that it's a really healthy thing to do. So I'd never like had any like uncomfortableness around it. But given that when I actually entered my corporate sales, career, there was some apprehension around like not wanting to not feeling like I fit in, frankly, with a lot of the, I was working in a very male dominated industry and feeling like, you know, the men that I was working around were really aggressive salespeople, and that was not my style. And so trying to figure out, could I make money at this? Could I be successful? You know, could I maintain my sales position and still like allow for my own personality to come through? So that was a long answer to your question.
Well, no, and I didn't want to assume that you did love sales, because sometimes I'll say questions like that and people are like, I actually don't love them at all, but I'm really good at it. With that said, I'm actually really curious to unpack this idea, because, you know, you mentioned being in this predominantly male energy, a lot of men in the industry with respect to sales. And I actually really believe that men and women sell differently. And I'd love for you to comment on that. And I went on a real rant about this a few weeks ago on my IGTV, because I was really starting to find that the women that I were working with were being so turned off by these sales conversations with men, and a lot of the traditional sales tactics that are taught, I felt were actually quite triggering for women. They felt very cornered by the conversation. And I think part of their fear of sales is predicated on these really horrendous experiences. So I would love for you to speak to, I mean, we can talk about your methodology, but just generally speaking, like, selling as a woman and selling to women is totally different than what I think, and I don't mean to generalize here, but what many men have historically done to selling. Can you just comment on that and unpack it a little bit for me?
Yeah, so I think that men are more comfortable with this idea of like that selling is something you do to someone. And I think women, we are much more comfortable with the idea of that selling is something you do with someone.
I love that.
So it's not about trying to manipulate. It's not trying to force somebody into something. And as a matter of fact, I teach this often. Like, your job is to not try to convince anybody of anything. And frankly, I think it's a waste of time in the current society that we live in. People don't want us to try to change. You know, you don't. It's terrible to go into a conversation where somebody is like, look, you're wrong and I'm going to change your mind. Like, you know, you get your guard up and you dig your heels in and you're like, there's nothing you can say to change my mind because I don't even like that you're approaching me that way, right? So to have that, I think men are more comfortable in that type of conversation. Like they're more comfortable with like maybe the banter back and forth and being a little more like aggressive with each other, whereas women, and again, this is a generalization because they're, you know, you can also look at it as like a male energy versus a female energy. You know, there's that piece of it too. But I think as women, we love to collaborate. And I think when you start to look at sales, it's not something you do to someone. It's something you do with someone. And I truly believe, and I teach this, that the relationship should be the priority. And as a matter of fact, one of the sayings I have is relationship first, rapport always. And even if that means that there's no sale at the end of it, the relationship should be intact. There should still be rapport going on, even when somebody declines working with you, that this is how you set yourself up for future success. And because we live in this society where there are so many options, there's so many places. I mean, I couldn't even tell you how many sales coaches out there that you could go hire to learn how to do this from. But what we really want to do is we want to attract the people who are drawn to our style, whatever your business is. And we want to repel the people that are like, you're not for me. And the only way that happens is by putting yourself out there, is because people aren't just going to randomly find you. You're not going to put up a website and people are going to flock and pay you money. That's not how it works.
They're not?
No, I know. It's so disappointing.
Shoot.
I know. That's what I think we're all hoping for. Like, oh, I have this really beautiful website and I invested tons of money in it. And it's, you know, it's absolutely gorgeous. But most of us that are in a service-based business, we have to go out and build the awareness around who we are, and we have to make connections, and we have to build relationships, and we have to attract our ideal clients. And the way you know, it's not like walking into a room and being like, hey, everybody, this is me, and I'm this way, and if you're not this way, like, leave the room. No, it's like, you got to walk into a room, get a feel of how are these people? What's their style? What do they prefer? And I don't mean actually, I mean, it could be physically walking into a room, but it could just be where your client's hanging out, and learning how to add flexibility to your behavior to attract the people to you.
Right.
Because if you have this attitude of like, this is me, take it or leave it, and if you don't like me, you know, go kick rocks, most people will leave because they can find somebody else to work with. So it's about relationship. That's my long answer.
Well, I know, and I love that. And I think there's probably so many women listening who are breathing a bit of a sigh of relief because they're like, oh, wait, are you telling me that there is another way of doing this? I want to talk about that. And I want to get into that a little bit. But first, can we just talk a little bit more and unpack this idea of repelling? And what that means, because I think even that, for a lot of people, the first stage of uncomfortability with respect to sales is this idea that not everyone's going to like you. And so it's way easier to put nothing out there and then not have to deal with that uncomfortableness. Whereas, you know, I think it's such a it's such a relief to not have to work with the wrong people. And, you know, for my practitioners in the group, we've all had those patients where we're like, oh, my gosh, they're on my schedule. This is gonna be a hard day. It would have been way more convenient for you to have just repelled them sooner. Can you talk a little bit about that, like how we go about this idea of repelling, and maybe it's just showing up as our authentic selves?
Well, I think that is a lot of it, of showing up and being you, because people will self-select, right? They'll choose that you're not their person. And I'm going to say, especially with this like female energy conversation that we're having, repel might seem like a harsh word. So the other way that I also describe it is bless and release the people who are not a good fit for your practice. And you can do that through conversation, but you can also do it by showing up and being who you are and letting your own style come through. Now, I do think there has to be a sales component, being strategic in your conversation, but not trying to sell like somebody else. Because oftentimes I don't know about you, but most of us have been in a conversation with somebody who does have a little bit of an aggressive style to them. And frankly, it's very authentic to them. And it kind of works. Like, we kind of are almost charmed by it. Whereas somebody else shows up and they're a little aggressive and we're like, oh, you're terrible. I don't like you at all. And I'm just going to get out of this conversation. I find that most of the time it's because the person that you feel that like, ugh, it's because they're not being their true self. They're trying to sell or take on some persona that somebody somewhere said, this is how you have to sell. You've got to say this. And when they say that, you say this back, right? Like that really aggressive piece. And I just had a conversation actually with a client not too long ago who went through a program that this is what was taught. Like when somebody says no, you don't take no for an answer. And as a matter of fact, you almost shame them into like, why would you say no to me? And I was like, oh, and she was like, exactly. And it doesn't work. And every time I tried to do it with a client, they were so turned off. And I was like, yeah, because who wants to be shamed? That's terrible. So it's really learning how to let your own personality shine through. And if you do have a little bit of an aggressive side to your personality, that's okay. Be strategic, learn how to make it work for you. And on the flip side, if there's this part of you that's like, I don't ever even want to talk about sales because it feels really scary, or I think people aren't going to like me, I will also say the other end of the spectrum is that if you don't show up in a conversation and make it easy for people to take a next step with you, you leave those people feeling unsatisfied with their interaction with you.
Yeah.
There's nothing worse than wanting to hire somebody and work with them and having them completely blow you off. And whether you're doing it intentionally or if you're doing it because you feel nervous about talking about sales, and so you're making it like you're putting up roadblocks to people hiring you, they don't walk away going, oh, that person just feels bad about selling and that's why they didn't want my business. No, they walk away and make up some crazy story like, she hates me. She thinks I'm a terrible person. She doesn't think I can afford her service, which none of those things are true. Mm-hmm. But we make up stories that relate back to us in some way.
Yeah, I think that's so true. You kind of have to control that narrative or people filling these crazy blanks when you don't give them the opportunity. And I watched the second piece you talked about there happen all the time, where people do such a great job. And as women, we're really good at pulling the presentation together. And then we don't like the sales piece. So it just stops. We don't tell people where to find us. We don't tell people how to follow up. And I used to do this early in my career, and I lost all of these patients, and I found out they were seeing other people. And I was like, oh, that's so great. I'm glad you're liking this practitioner. They're like, yeah, you didn't mention how to follow up with you. So I assumed your practice was full, but so-and-so is great. And I was like, oh my gosh, I just ran around selling everyone else's business for the first 4 or 5 years. So it's so true. And I think if you're impassioned by what you do, it's that much easier to make that call. But I kind of feel like it's a responsibility to do that.
Oh, it is 100% your job to earn somebody's business. And that means actually showing up in the conversation. It also means, you know, some people call it asking for the sale, which I do too, but I love to teach that it's about issuing invitations, because most people like to be invited to things, even if you don't want to go. Like, even if you're, you know, your friend's having a get together and you're like, I'm not really up for it this weekend, it's still nice to be invited, because none of us want to be excluded. And so when you think about the sales process, as all you're doing is issuing an invitation, and it's up to the other person to say, yeah, I'd like to accept that invitation, or I don't think this is the right time for me. Either way is okay, but we've got to invite them. Mm-hmm. And then it takes some pressure off, right? I feel like it does. Because now it isn't about like, they don't like me, or they think my service is too expensive. It's like, no, it's just an invitation, and they can say yes or no to it.
So how do we do that? What does that look like in a practical context?
So in a practical context, it's actually getting the words out of your mouth. So I do teach a 5-step process to the sales conversation. I call it the selling staircase. And the reason it's in the form of a staircase is because it's your job to move a client from step to step to step, and you're working your way up the steps. And just to kind of give the counter to this, one of the reasons that people often come off salesy or the conversation feels uncomfortable, it's because you're skipping steps in the conversation. You're trying to go right from, hey, I just met you, hey, do you want to buy from me? And the person's like, what? No, like, what do you even sell? That feels gross and weird. Yeah. Well, that's because you skipped all the steps in the process. So, and how to issue, in the back to the invitation question, is that you actually have to issue an invitation at every step of the process. So in the introduction step, which is step one, you want to make a powerful first impression. And that's going to make somebody want to like ask you another question, which is usually something like, what do you do? Or how are you? Or what brought you to this event? Or whatever like the context is. And step two of the selling staircase is what I teach around how to create curiosity. And your job as the seller is to always be testing the waters to see, am I talking to a potential client or patient? Or is this just somebody who'll be nice that I met them at a party, or I met them at a networking meeting, or reconnected on social media? And it's never going to go anywhere. Well, the only way you know that is if you create a little curiosity. And the way to create curiosity is the way you respond to questions from this person. So for instance, oftentimes people will say like, oh, have you been? And we all have, like some of us have kind of a standard answer like, oh, I've been fine. How are you? Well, that doesn't create any curiosity. So instead, what if you had an answer that actually spurs them to want to know more? So for instance, if somebody asked me right now, hey, Nikki, how are you? I could say, oh, I'm so good. I just launched a podcast and it's been really fun to see the response. Well, that now gives somebody to go, possibly, maybe I created enough curiosity for them to say, what's your podcast about? Or what's the name of your podcast? Or, you know, why did you start a podcast? Well, then that gives me permission to talk a little bit more about something that I'm working on right now. If I don't create curiosity, I may get to the end of that event and have never talked about my business. And therefore, I never know if there are ideal clients in that room or in that setting. So we've got to create curiosity. And then what happens when somebody is like, oh, well, tell me more about that? Or, you know, if you say like, I'm a massage practitioner, oh, I just, you know, I'm just opening my practice back up, you know, based on everything that's going on in the world right now. And somebody goes, oh, you know, tell me more about the type of service that you do. Well, that's a potential buying signal right then. And the way that you issue the invitation is you answer their question. So you would tell them about the service that you would do. And then you would say, now, is that something you might be interested in? That's the issue, the invitation. And they might say, yes, as a matter of fact, I need a massage practitioner. Or they might go, no, I have somebody I work with. Either way is okay. But if you don't ask, mm-hmm. they'll never get to that next step with you. Now, they may say, well, you know, possibly, but I'm not sure if the, you know, the problem that I'm having is the right problem for a massage practitioner. So now we got to go to the discovery step, which is step three. And that is where your job is to understand what's their problem, what's their need, what's their want, and find whether or not you have a solution for them. So again, selling isn't about convincing people. It's about understanding what's their problem, what's their need, what's their want. Mm-hmm. And then once you've kind of gone through that discovery and you find actually massage would be very beneficial for whatever their problem is, now what you would say, you know, based on what we've talked about, I do think massage would be the right solution for you. Would you be interested in talking about ways that we could work together? Or would you be interested in scheduling a massage? It could be something as simple as that. Because now I've just asked permission, and that's an invitation. Wait, by the way, that was the language. I'm inviting them to take another step with me. And if I don't issue that invitation, they may never decide, oh, yeah, not only do I need massage, but yes, I would like to have one by you.
Right. And as you're saying that, I could hear so many people reworking one of your sentences in their minds from, would you be interested in that? Or would this be something you'd be interested in, to, you know, handing someone a card and saying, if you're interested in it, here's where you could follow up with me. Is that another tactic, or are we just completely circumventing the opportunity?
Okay. I'm so glad you asked me this question. I haven't had this question in a while, by the way. So you just totally made my day by asking this question.
Oh, cause I could just hear like 10,000 people asking it.
Yeah. Yes. So, okay. So when you never want to do that, by the way, like handing out your business card is not selling. And as a matter of fact,
Wait, say that again.
Handing out your business card is not selling.
Okay, good.
Okay. So oftentimes I'll ask people, if I'm speaking to a big group and this question comes up, I'll say, now, how many of you have a stack of business cards on your desk or somewhere in your office right now of people you're going to call someday? Like, everybody raises their hand. It's like, why even sitting on these cards? It's because that person made it difficult for you to get an appointment with them, and they're asking you to do something later. So when you say to somebody like, hey, don't buy from me now, buy from me later, people are like, okay, someday later, but later never comes because they're busy.
Right.
We're all so busy. So handing someone a business card and saying like, call and schedule an appointment is a terrible sales tactic. Because you're saying to the client, hey, you jump through all these hoops and then you can pay me money. No. What you say instead is, let's schedule a time to get you in. And then now you have it on their calendar. You've made it super easy. They're going to show up for that appointment. And guess what? At the end, they're going to pay you money. Mm-hmm. This is how they get what they need and want. You have to make it so easy. So I also get really like excited when people go watch this video about my services. Like, no, don't tell people to go away and do something. You act on the buying signal. You take that action and you make it super easy for that client to get the next step with you. And the way you do that is by getting on the calendar.
Because I think,
or selling the product.
Yes. And because if you're hitting a roadblock here where you're like, oh, I'm not comfortable with that. I think that the real roadblock you're not comfortable with is someone rejecting your service.
Yeah.
And we have a great episode we did with a relationship therapist. Her name's Dr. Shamala Kiru. And she talks about these three ways of communicating. She's like, we tend to put things into two categories. We're either being aggressive or passive aggressive. She's like, but there's this middle ground called being assertive. And that's just asking for something you need, but also being okay with them saying no, thank you. And mm-hmm. And that, like, that's just a really mature adult place to get to hang out, where someone can say no thank you and it's not devastating to you.
Well, I will say, years ago, a friend of mine was asking for some sales advice. And, you know, I love to be the expert. I love to get asked questions. And I thought she was going to give me a compliment, because she said, you know what makes you so good at sales, Nikki? And I was like, ooh, I love a compliment. What, you know, like, tell me what makes me so good at sales. And she goes, you are so good with rejection. And I was like, what? Hold up.
Not right now.
Like, who's rejecting me? Like, what are you talking to? I was so shocked. And then she goes, you know, when people say no to you, like, you don't take it personally. And I was like, oh, you think if somebody declines hiring me, that that's rejection? I was like, oh, no. That's not actually what I think of as rejection at all. To me, it's the same as when you go out and you have a really beautiful meal and, you know, you've really enjoyed the meal. And then the waiter comes by and says, you know, would you like to see our dessert menu? And you say, oh, no, I couldn't possibly. I'm so full. But thank you. It was a great meal. The waiter doesn't go back to the other people in the restaurant and be like, oh, can you believe her? She totally rejected me. I offered her dessert and she said no. Right. And so I think of the selling process as the same. If you issue an invitation and somebody declines, they're not rejecting you per se. Mm-hmm. It's just not the right time, or it's not the right fit, or frankly, they just don't have the need, or they don't understand the process yet. So I always say, if someone gives me a buying signal and I invite them to work with me and they decline, my brain actually says, not yet. That's right. All it is. Like, it's just not yet. And there, it will come back around, or I will put myself in the position to have another conversation with them in some way. So it's just a not yet. That's it.
I love that reframe. And it's funny because my husband and I often joke that we really want all of our kids at some point before they're finished with university to have summer jobs with a high degree of rejection, so they can just sit and experience that emotion and realize that it's not actually about them at all. Yeah. But I loved your reframe that you just provided. That might have saved them a few years of bad summer jobs.
I hope so. But at the same time, it is good to start to realize that just because somebody declines working with you, it doesn't mean that you are a bad person, or that your offer is terrible, or that your pricing is wrong. That it doesn't mean any of those things. There are people who are not the right fit for you right now. And mm-hmm. that's where, I go back to this bless and release. Like, if somebody says no to me, I don't get offended. I also don't get really discouraged about it either. I just think, okay, either I missed a step with them. I might check it out. I might check in if somebody says no and I'm surprised. But if somebody's like, hey, I don't need help with sales, but you know, you go girl, do your thing. I'm like, great. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it. Right. And if you know anybody who would benefit from help from sales, please send them my way. Like, it's totally fine. We're fine. I'm fine. You're fine. It doesn't impact my mindset at all.
Do you ever have those people where it's not in your own mind, it's not a not yet, it's like a no, they're not going to be a good fit, or I got the signal from them that this is going to go nowhere? Because I've been in these situations where I've respectfully declined because it's just not a service I need, and bless their heart, they're just so tenacious, they ask me again and again and again and again. And that's actually the side of the sales where I don't like, because enough. How do I politely just permanently move you from not yet to no thank you?
Okay, so there's two things I want to say here. One is that, remember, it can be really hard for people to say no to you. Mm-hmm. Like, some of us struggle with saying no to people because we don't want to disappoint them. We don't want to let them down. So I actually make it easy for people to say no. Like, if your answer is no, like, I got to send the message that we're okay either way.
Right.
But if I get, if I'm in the position, like what you just said, like, I've said no to somebody and they're just like continuing on and on, like, I'm totally fine with saying to somebody, I appreciate that you have something that you think would be of value for me. I am not interested. So I appreciate you. I wish you well. And we don't need to further this conversation.
Fair.
Because it's okay. And again, it might hurt their feelings. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. But if somebody is being aggressive with me, I think sometimes you do have to take a little bit more of a little bit of a harder approach. But I'm also okay in a nice way to say, thank you so much for asking. My answer is no.
Right.
That's a hard no for me. If I say that to you, that's a hard no. And if you choose to ignore it as being a hard no, I'm probably going to get more aggressive with you.
Right. And so when you were describing before, it's a not yet. How do you go about following up with people? What kind of tempo and timeline does that seem to follow?
So it depends on what they're like, how it comes about. So if somebody says, you know, Nikki, I know I could use some help with sales, but I'm just really not in a position right now because of this or that reason, whatever. I might say to them, is this something that you would like to stay in touch about? And if so, is it okay if I follow back up with you? And I'm going to actually try to schedule another time for us to talk later if they're really interested. That's one thing I will do. I don't chase clients. So this is a little different than I think a lot of salespeople. I don't believe in chasing clients. I think if you chase clients, they turn into toddlers. So if you say to your, I know you have kids at home. I don't know if you have a toddler, but if you say to your, you know, your little ones like, oh, I'm going to chase you. Like they don't even know what the game is and they take off running. Right.
Right.
So when you act like you're going to chase people for their business, they will run away from you typically. So a lot of times what I will say is, I think I would love to earn your business. You would be an ideal client for me. If at any point something changes in the future and you're interested in working with me, please know I would absolutely love to work with you. So come back, reach out, let me know, and I'll be right there.
Right.
For you. Like I kind of leave it at that. So I don't do a lot of chasing. But if somebody does say like, you know, I'm thinking I'm interested, but I'm not quite ready, you know, follow up with me in a month or two, I will say to somebody, great, let's get a time scheduled on our calendars now for that follow up. Because if they're not willing to put me on their calendar like a month or two, I might follow up one more time with them like in a month or two, but that's kind of it.
Right.
At that point, it'll come back around. Like they'll come back around. Most people that are, I will say, the most people that are kind of giving me buying signals, or they will find themselves kind of back in my orbit in some way. They will sign up for something that I've done, or they'll get themselves on my newsletter to get sales tips from me. And then there's offers that are being made. Like I am selling to my list. So there's opportunities for them to work with me. So I kind of follow this strategy of like, people will either hang out on my list because they like the messaging that I'm putting out. They will hire me because they do want help with sales and they understand that I'm going to make a difference, or they'll unsubscribe. Either of those three things are okay.
Yeah. And they're all, and it all falls in that realm of just being assertive about what you have to offer. Yeah. Nikki, in a really practical context, what kind of software do you use to keep track of those people who are prospects before you move them over to sales?
Okay, so I am not using like a CRM. I use ActiveCampaign as my list management, like to manage my list. And so I do a lot of things with tagging. So I tag people with certain tags that indicate kind of where they fall in my kind of in my system.
Right.
And then I target certain tags for certain things. So not everybody sees every offer that I put out because they might not fall in the right tag for me. So that's how I do it. But more than anything, here's really how I move somebody from like the start to finish, is I always schedule the next time that we're going to meet or chat in the selling process before I end that previous meeting. And if they're not willing to schedule that next time on their calendar with me, they're probably not a prospect. They're just like a lead and they can hang out on my system.
Right. I like that. Sometimes it's just that simple, right? Mm-hmm. Of using your existing CRM or even email marketing system. And I love that idea of just simply tagging, because there's huge systems that you can get. And I think for most small business owners, it's such overkill. And so much for them to manage those pieces.
Yeah. I mean, coming from the corporate sales background and of having worked with a lot of CRMs in my day, I just know that my way of selling it, they're on my calendar. And when it pops up on my calendar that it's time to call them because it's on their calendar too, I'm calling.
Right.
And we're getting on the phone, and I'm starting at the beginning with a pre-frame of what the purpose of the call is. And sometimes if somebody kind of leads me down this path and they keep going like, well, let's schedule another time, I'm not ready yet, and we get, and it's like we just keep going and they're not making a decision.
Yeah.
Sometimes I will start that call by saying, I'm so looking forward to having this chat with you today, and the purpose of our call is to answer any lingering questions that you have about moving forward and decide today that we're either working together or we're not.
Yeah.
Like it's again, because the thing about sales, again, it's not that you're it's not something you do to people, it's something that you do with. Mm-hmm. And so in the power dynamic in the conversation, not one of you should hold the power. I think if you try to hold power over a prospect, they'll get turned off and they'll go away. And if you let them have all the power in the conversation, they will take advantage of you. Yeah. Or they will ask you to change and make, you know, and manipulate your process to serve them, which isn't in your best interest of your business. And so the idea is that there should be a balance in the conversation and in the power dynamic. It shouldn't be that I'm more powerful than you or that you are more powerful than me. This is it's a conversation, and a conversation goes two ways.
100%. And I, right from the very beginning, I love this idea that it's something that you do with people. And it equally speaks to this idea that if you're the prospect, that you owe it to the person with the service to share if it's not for them. I would just so rather someone say, this isn't the right fit for me, than to also use my time up because you're scared to hurt my feelings.
Yes.
So this really goes both ways. Nikki, I'd love for you to share some of the top mistakes or, you know, mismoves that people are executing on with respect to selling that you're seeing in small businesses.
So there's a couple things that we talked about, a couple of them, right?
We
like
did,
handing
yep.
your business card and thinking that's gonna make a difference. Ending your, you know, ending a time with somebody and not scheduling the next time is a huge mistake. One of the other big ones is that when you're doing a discovery process or trying to understand what somebody's problem or need is, your job is to not sell during that step. And so, you know, you ask a question, they answer it, and you go right into a pitch. That's a mistake. You actually want to get through your set list of questions, and those questions should lead people to hiring you, because we're trying to help them see the value of your work. So we want to make sure that the questions that you're asking really lead people down this path, so that when you get to the place where it's time to move to step four, which is the proposal, they're ready. They're ready for you then to lay out an offer, for you to explain how to work together, and for you to collect money, right? So that's another kind of misstep that I think people make. I talked about people skipping steps. That's another huge mistake. And I mean, I could go on. So you tell me how many more you want to go.
I've got one last question for you in this
okay.
realm. And then what I want to do is I want to switch to a portion of our interview that I call our KPIs.
Okay.
And these are our key performance indicators in how we live our lives. So I believe that we've got them in our business, but I've also believe that we have them in the actions that we take. But before we do that, I would love to just hear from you quickly. Are there any tactics that you recommend or leverage yourself with respect to ongoing email? So whether that's always having a call to action at the end or listing four or five ways that people can work with you, are there some quick email hacks that people could adjust or take action on today to accelerate the ease with which their prospects can work with them?
Yes. I feel like we could do a whole episode on email. I'm
going to
give
you
one that will likely challenge the listener to take some real hard looks at their emails. And when you do this, it will absolutely change the way people respond to you. So one thing about email is that we way overuse the word I in our emails, because we write emails the way that we think, and we think from our own perspective, but the reader reads it from their perspective. And so it's not interesting if all you're doing is making I statements like, I want to tell you about this new thing, and I know you would like to know more about this, and I want to invite you to, you know, sign up for this. And I like overusing I statements is a huge mistake in emails, and it slows down the process. And frankly, it just turns people off. They'll start ignoring your messaging. So we got to get the I statements out, and you don't have to get them out completely. I always say 80-20 rule. Count how many sentences you have in your email, and then count how many times you use the word I. And if you are more than 20% I statements, you got to rework that, because you're turning people off. It's not interesting to the reader that it's all about you. And then one other little follow-up one, like I said, I could do a whole episode just around this, but one other little follow-up thing is that we read emails by ourselves. We don't read them in as a group. So stop sending email messages. Hey, everyone, yeah, all of you want to know this. Like, none of us get together as a group and read email. So write your emails to a person. Like, again, and you should be talking with people, even in email, not just at them.
I love it. Such good advice. And you're quite right. We could just keep going, because I find this so interesting. Like, when, and I think too, when you're really confident in what it is that you have to share with people, that's when I think you're even more interested in understanding these tactics, because you're genuinely excited about putting your product or your service into more people's hands. And if you're not genuinely excited, I feel like no matter what we talk about and what tactics or strategies we put on the table, the misalignment is starting with what it is that you want to share with people.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah. And I was feeling that so much as you were speaking. All right, Nikki, I've got a few rapid fire questions coming your way. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
What's the most impactful book you've ever read?
Ask and It's Given.
Ah,
it's about the law of attraction. It totally changed my perspective in my 30s.
Okay. Good one. What is the one thing you are most consistent with respect to your health?
Intake of fiber. like seriously, I have this great fiber product that I take every single day, and it is the thing I'm the most consistent
that's
about.
Awesome. What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
I feel like I don't have anything that's badass about me. I once had to learn to drink beer for a job.
Oh, that's kind of fun. I don't drink beer, but that's kind of fun.
I didn't think I could. Like, I was the kind of person that had a gag reflex every time I would smell beer. So learning how to do it in order to get a job that I really wanted it's something that I still use to this day, as the way that anytime something comes my way and I think, I don't think I can do this, I go, no, I learned how to drink beer for a job. I can do this.
Meanwhile, men everywhere are like, I'm sorry, what? Where do I get this? Where do
Where
I,
do
get,
I get this
job?
Yeah, exactly.
What do you do for fun or play?
I cook with my husband. He's an amazing cook, and we make really great meals together.
So nice. And finally, entrepreneurism. Are we born this way, or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
I definitely don't think I was born this way. Like, I, especially in my corporate life, everybody's like, why don't you start your own business? I was like, oh, no way. That's so scary. So for me, it happened a little bit more organically. Like, I don't think I was born to be an entrepreneur, but I think I have an internal drive to be successful. So I do think people have like this, I don't think I'm answering your question very well. I don't think you can say you were born this way or you learn. I think everything can be learned. I will say that from my NLP background, we believe there's a structure to excellence. It's a core value of neuro-linguistic programming. And if you can teach people a structure, they can follow the steps and have success in their life.
I like it. There's no wrong way to answer that question.
Okay.
Nikki Rausch, it's been a pleasure having you on the podcast. I know people are going to want to follow up with you and your wisdom. Where can we send them to learn more about you? And I know you've got something really cool for the audience as well.
Yeah. So this is going to get your answer to both of those. So I have a gift I would love to give the listener, which is an ebook called Closing the Sale, and it's how to increase your confidence in the close. So you can get that by going to my website at yoursalesmaven.com/anthropology. Help me say this word.
Anthropology. I know.
Anthropology. I'm sorry.
No,
I should
it's
have
all
got
good.
That better. So make sure you spell it ENTREPOLOGY. L-O-G-Y. Of course, they know how to spell it. But
they know how to spell it sometimes. Yeah. And we'll have it hooked up in the show notes for everybody as well, so they can grab it there.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, Nikki, it's been such a pleasure. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
The Anthropology Podcast is about leveling up your mindset, your health, and your business so you can maximize your impact in this world. To that end, we're going to begin with a new series of offerings to help you have that impact you've always dreamed of. Over on the Anthropology Podcast page, we're going to start doing live broadcasts of episodes. Sometimes these will be solo episodes, and sometimes these will be with guests. This is your opportunity to interact with us live as we are recording your favorite episodes. Adjacent to our Facebook page, we also have the Anthropology Collective, a free Facebook group with hundreds of fellow entrepreneurs just like you. In the Anthropology Collective, we're going to keep you up to date on upcoming masterclasses, interact daily, as well as have new offerings like our Badass Book Club. After a two-year hiatus, we are bringing it back. Our new April and May selections are going to be announced in the coming weeks, and we would love for you to participate in all of these new virtual offerings. I believe that when people have their health, they can change the world. That is what inspired us to start this podcast in the first place, and that is what is inspiring us to keep going. I'm so appreciative of all of you. Give us a like over on Apple iTunes and come and join us in the collective. We'll see you there.